Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October 17th, 2016. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's enjoying the week off to celebrate his wife Ann's birthday. They are in gorgeous Niagara Falls, and you have to check out some of his photos on his Facebook page. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you will find it. They're up there catching some wonderful fall colors. A few of us are taking over for Bill while he's out this week, and I think I can speak for them all when I say it is our privilege to do that for him. The Buckmaster Show is heard live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 a.m. and we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. The show always starts the week talking to our experts on the Monday political face-off. Today we're welcoming Vince Robago and John Munger. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking with Josh Riley. He is the Green Party candidate for Pima County Supervisor from District 4. That's the area represented by Ray Carroll, who is retiring in January. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. We welcome John Munger, Tucson attorney and former head of the Arizona Board of Regents, and Vince Robago, an attorney and head of the Latino Caucus of the Democratic Party for Pima County. John and Vince, welcome, and I hope you guys had a great weekend.
Yeah, it's great to see you, Dan.
Good to see you, Dan.
You too.
Hope and you too, Vince.
Same here, Bill.
we'll see about that in about 20 minutes. So, the early ballots were sent out last week. That means that the long election season is over for a lot of people who have voted and sent them back in. I guarantee you, down in my area of Green Valley, a lot of people already done that, and they're probably glad it's over. I don't know if you two get early ballots or if you insist on standing in line on election day. But, Vince, would you mark the ballot right away, or do you think there are more revelations to come in the next 3 weeks that might sway some voters? What would you do?
Well, I am waiting for my early ballot. Okay. I was out of town last week, so all the mail's been on hold. So when we get the mail in the next day or two, I will certainly fill it out as soon as I get it. And I think most folks that do the early ballot will do the same. I don't think that is always the case. A lot of people get the ballot and they wait. I think there's a big sense of election fatigue for any political party, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green, you name it. People, I think, are rather exhausted with this election season overall, and it's not just this election season. I think elections, and maybe John will weigh in on this, I think campaigns and electioneering has gotten longer and longer and longer, where it seems like we're rarely taking a break. But this particular election, with the national election, at least in my view, I know I'll fill it out when I get it done. Of course, as you know, the election is not over until it's over.
That's right.
It may be over for that voter, but it's going to continue on for the next 20 plus days.
And, John, some countries do limit the election cycle to, 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is. I mean, any thought? Would you support something like that?
No, I really wouldn't. I do understand. I'm exhausted with the election as well. But my view is that I'd rather have the public have too much information than not enough. And I'd rather err on the side of having all the time that anybody thinks they need to convey their message or hear their message. People don't have to listen to it if they're tired of it. And I'm afraid that if we officially shorten the time of the election, electioneering, that information won't come out. And I think it's important that the public be as well informed as possible.
Oh, good. Well, let's talk about some of the races, and we're going to start at the top. John, we'll start with you. Mike Pence said on the Sunday talk shows that he and Donald Trump would accept the outcome on Election Day, and that their major beef, claiming a rigged election, is with the biased media. But then Trump turned around and suggested that there are irregularities at polling sites, which, of course, are not even open yet. What is he talking about?
Listen, if you knew. I can't explain what he's talking about. I know that we've had corrupt elections before. Clearly, the Kennedy-Nixon election, there's just no doubt about it that Kennedy stole Illinois, and that was that turned the election. Nixon was classy enough to not dispute it when he really could have. I don't know what Trump's going to do. I'm not going to try and explain to Trump. There are problems sometimes on occasions in the polling places. I distinguish that from the problems with our press and the press ganging up in favor of one side against another side. That's an entirely different issue. And he seems to conflate those two issues, and they're not the same at all.
Okay. And Vince, would you say that the press has been beating up on Mr. Trump?
Well, I think it's been Mr. Trump beating up on Mr. Trump with his own statements and his own behavior and his own past. I thought it was quite surprising. I read the other day that turns out that he did not allow his own campaign to vet his background. Now, when you're seeking office, I mean, anybody who seeks office, that's a higher office, of course. I mean, one of the things that is done in all kinds of races, and not just for the top, you know, office, you know, in our country, and certainly, you know, to be a leader in the world, is that you go through your background to see what, they call it opposition research, right? And you do your own opposition research as a candidate and as a campaign so that you're ready for whatever might happen in a campaign. And it turns out that he did not allow his own campaign to do that for him. And so, you know, to the extent that you know, Mr. Trump is claiming, oh, it's the media ganging up on me. I mean, it's his own statements on tape, on video, telling, you know, 10-year-old girls, oh, how old are you? Oh, in a few years, I'm going to be dating you. Things like that are on video. Good. I mean, you think about that, and you look at a person who's lived their life in ultimate wealth and privilege, and somehow, apparently, to me, at least to me, my view is that it's someone who believes that they operate outside of the rules. They can say and do what
they want. Well, if you want to talk about somebody that operates outside of the rules, try Hillary Clinton when the U.S. Congress subpoenas documents from her, and instead of producing those documents, she goes off and destroys them. That's obstruction of justice. Talk about a person that's living in an unreal world. It is the Clintons, and they do it time after time after time. I'm just astounded by people like Vince, who for many years said that Bill Clinton, who is performing sexual acts in the executive office with 23-year-olds, they weren't concerned about that at all.
Let me interrupt you right there. I never said that. So when you try to ascribe something to me that's outright false,
let's finish, John.
Many of the people were constantly saying, oh, character doesn't matter. Remember that old phrase, character doesn't matter?
I never said that.
And I'm not talking about you, Vince, but many
you
of your
did.
People. Many of your people. And so they're not concerned at all what Bill Clinton did. They're not concerned about the intimidation that Hillary Clinton went out and put verbal and legal threats together and hits on these people legally. And they're worried about a few things, some locker room talk that Donald Trump said 11 years ago. Give me a break.
Vince.
Look, first of all, to try to say and ascribe very specific statements to me, which you just did, which are utterly false.
Oh, I'm
you
so just, sorry I offended well, you,
hey,
Vince.
Hey, it's not offended, but you know what?
I'm
facts,
so sorry
facts
I offended
and
you.
Here's the issue. Facts and truth matter. And by you just doing
really?
That, by you
do
just doing that.
Do they matter to you?
They do, and to you apparently not.
Then how do you support Hillary Clinton?
Do you want to keep lying?
How do you support Hillary Clinton?
Do you enjoy lying?
Do you want to talk about lies?
Talk about
Hillary
talking about
Clinton.
Your lie right now. Do you want to talk about it?
I said that many people in your camps don't care
look,
about
look,
Bill
here's,
Clinton.
Here, okay. No, what you, that's John, not John, what you said. John, that's not what you said, John.
Oh, go ahead, Vince.
That is not what you said.
Give me a break.
Replay the tape
this
if
is
you want.
Vince, go ahead.
Replay the tape, but just like I stopped and allowed you, but now you won't allow the same courtesy.
Go ahead. You
shows
got, you
me
got
exactly
the
type of person that you are because you're representing
now you're
Trump the exactly the way that Trump likes to act. Acts like a bully, repeats falsehoods, and then when you call them on the falsehoods, just starts trying to say that they didn't say it. That's exactly what Donald Trump has done this entire election season, and now you just demonstrated for all the listeners
oh,
here.
Poor
that's
Vince.
Exactly why and what he does.
Okay, we're gonna now, go. We're gonna go to the phones right now, Carl.
Poor
we
Vince.
We've just a short time before the break. What do you got to say here?
I'm sick and tired and fed up with both of you guys and with both parties. neither party put forward a valid, a decent candidate, and the way both parties have been acting just really makes me sick. I'm fed up with it, and I'm not alone. I talk to other people out there, and we just don't like the path that you guys are forcing us into. We're fed up with it. That's why we're not donating to the parties anymore, and we wish to hell you people would act like adults.
Okay, thank you, Carl. It sounds like we are in a position of defending the indefensible. It's about 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show with John Munger and Vince
I think
Vince
Robigo. Is very upset because you've personally attacked him and because you've said he and I don't have any control over who the candidates are. So don't get your panties all in a bunch about us.
Okay, we're going to be right back in a couple of minutes to continue the Monday political face-off, probably.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is reminding you they have pigeon services with an alliterative pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you'll be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit 5StarTermite.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is always on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and, of course, on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and I'm joined by Vince Robago and John Munger. Vince, we're going to throw it back to you. Can Hillary Clinton take Arizona?
I think it's possible. And the reality is that I think the polls show her either dead even or maybe a point behind Trump. But polls, as John will agree, you know, those are just a snapshot in time. Anything can happen between now and the end of Election Day. But what you look when you step back and you look at all the damage that Trump has done to his own brand on the eve of early voting, and when you take into consideration what is starting to happen in states like Arizona and Utah, and what I mean by that is for example, Arizona has a very strong in the conservative base Mormon population, and Utah, for example, the biggest paper, I forget if it's called the Desert Sun, whatever, that in Utah came out with a scathing indictment of Trump, and it's obviously the two are not linked to the church there in Utah, but they are oftentimes reflective of the same view. And if you transpose that view to the population that is here in Arizona, and you then flip over and you say, well, what's happening on the ground? And you see that, for example, the Clinton campaign just bought, you know, millions of dollars worth of ad time, that the Michelle Obama, the First Lady, will be in Phoenix on Thursday, that Bernie Sanders will be in Tucson on Tuesday, that Chelsea Clinton will be in Phoenix on Wednesday. What you see and what you're reading is that Hillary Clinton is making a serious play for Arizona. And while that's happening, you see Donald Trump complaining on Twitter about Saturday Night Live. And you compare the two and you see, well, what's really happening here? And I think it's possible. Of course, every day ballots will be coming in, and it's not over until all the ballots are in. And just to kind of add to a point that I didn't address earlier, which is this issue of Trump sort of attacking the legitimacy of the process, I'm glad to see Republicans and Democrats alike coming out saying, hey, wait a second, our process is works fine, this is legitimate. And you see these efforts by Trump trying to sort of cast, like, this, oh, if I lose, it'll be because this was an illegitimate election. People don't like that. That's why I'm glad to see those prominent Republicans and, of course, Democrats as well that have come out and said, hey, that's just, you know, that's like sore loser talk in advance. And it's sort of the same thing, like, when he didn't, his show didn't get selected for the Emmys. He sent out about six or eight tweets saying, this is unfair.
That's a different subject to whether Hillary Clinton's going to win the election in Arizona. I think,
true. Different subject. I'm just adding something I didn't talk about earlier.
I think that there's a good chance Hillary Clinton could win Arizona. I think that there's a number of factors that we have that are important and that are unknowns. One is we have a big election on recreational marijuana. How is that election going to go, and how is that going to affect who turns out at the polls? You've got the John McCain race against Fitzpatrick. How is that going to affect who turns out at the polls? You've got the potentiality of what I call the Brexit effect. People who as occurred in England with Brexit, weren't polled because they never vote, and therefore aren't polled, but they turned up to vote. 2 million extra Britons turned up to vote who hadn't been polled to put Brexit over. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But it certainly is a possibility, and it's certainly something that Trump is hoping for. But I think it's 50-50 whether Hillary Clinton wins the state of Arizona, frankly.
The other unknown, that or not, it's a known factor, but whether or not these voters will turn out the Latino vote, the Hispanics, that have maybe they're registered but haven't voted in the past, and given sort of the tenor of the Trump campaign, is that going to drive them out? The other thing is that there's a whole bunch of new registered voters and groups working on trying to register new voters. I think like 120,000 of the sort of an umbrella group working out of Phoenix, Promise Arizona, One Arizona, these different groups and other nonprofits. I think it was 120,000, if not more, that they just turned in, near the end of the deadline for registration to vote. So they're new voters, but do they then actually convert, to actually vote? Because it's one thing to register, and it's a whole other matter to actually fill out that ballot and send it back or go to the polls.
And that's true on both sides. I mean, both parties have registered a whole bunch of new voters, so that's hard to predict. But I think that you've got in this election. I think this election nationwide. I would say certainly. Hillary Clinton is ahead right now. I think by any measure I know, she's ahead. But the election is too close to call in the sense that anything could happen. And with all of these, what Donald Trump is doing to himself, what WikiLeaks is putting out about Hillary Clinton, what could happen between now and election time? Unknown. How this debate goes, Hillary Clinton falls down while she's making a speech, that changes everything. Who knows?
John, along those lines, there's concern that a Trump backlash could hurt down-ballot candidates. Yet we see Republicans like John McCain, Martha McSally in very strong positions heading to Election Day. Are there any Republicans out there who should be worried at this point about that backlash?
I don't think so. I don't think there's much of a coattails effect. Certainly, I've been watching the U.S. Senate races. You know, there were, I think, something like 32 or 34 Senate seats up this time. Two-thirds of them were Republicans, and it appears the Democrats were hoping that they could take some of those 24 Republican seats, and it doesn't look like they're going to take more than two of them or so. So I know Ron Johnson's in trouble, the Republican senator in Wisconsin, maybe one or the other. Some of the others, but Kelly Ayotte, for example, in New Hampshire, has been very worried. She seems to be doing fine. She's a couple of points ahead. McCain's ahead. I don't think there's much of a coattails effect here for or against lower ballot races. I think if I had to predict, I would predict the Republicans are going to continue to hold the House of Representatives and they're going to continue to hold the Senate.
And Vince, what do you think? Is Trump actually going to help the Democrats?
Well, I do disagree with John on this. I think there is going to be some effect. How much effect? That's harder to quantify.
I think the race
is a lot closer. For example, with John McCain and Ann Kirkpatrick, and you know, people have seen John McCain there for so many years, and he just is not the same person. Where he's being abused verbally by his own presidential nominee and doesn't stand up for himself, endorses him about 60 times, and then finally at the very end, where he's worried about his election results, then decides to disavow Donald Trump. I mean, it looks like he's willing to say or do anything to try to remain in office. And so that race, I think, could flip. I think the Senate is poised to flip. The House has always been a harder battle in the House of Representatives just because of sheer numbers. But what struck me, I was visiting a family last week in Texas. What struck me were some of the very, very hard-hitting ads against congressional candidates there in Texas, tying them to Trump. And these were very effective ads, and I was surprised at how much I was seeing there in Texas, of course, which is also a conservative state. And so I think we know with McSally, last time she won by just a tiny margin, a couple hundred votes, if I remember correctly. And so if there's a groundswell of people coming out, and if Hillary does take the state, as may happen, if voters go out there and vote their conscience and vote the right way, then it could knock McSally out. And I think the race between Ann Kirkpatrick and John McCain, that of course is going to be on its own merits because of just the two folks that are there. But if there's enough sort of backlash because of what has happened with Donald Trump and how he interacted with that campaign, I think the Senate could turn in Arizona, and I think it's anybody's guess as to McSally.
In my opinion, McSally's unbeatable. McCain is unbeatable. I don't think there's going to be any significant down ballot effects. And it's interesting that my prediction is that even if Hillary Clinton wins the election, she's still going to have a Republican U.S. Senate and U.S. House.
Okay, I want to thank Vince Robigo and John Munger for joining us on today's Monday Political Face-Off. Good conversation and always interesting and never boring. And once again, the Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check him out at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Right after our break, we'll be joined by Josh Riley. He is the Green Party candidate for Pima County Supervisor. We'll be right back.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do there, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We now invite Josh Riley to the line. Hey, Josh, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks, Dan. Thanks
Good.
For having me on.
Great to have you. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Josh is the candidate for the seat currently held by Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll in District 4. That's a huge sweeping district, basically starts down there in the Green Valley area and sweeps east and up north, and it's just monstrous. Josh, before we get into more personal information about you, I just want you to give us kind of the basics of the Green Party. What do they stand for?
Okay. So basically, the Green Party is working to make our society more fair, sustainable, peaceful, and healthy. And we believe in a more equitable economy that works with, not against, nature. So we represent a new way of experiencing and interacting with the political process from local to global.
And how big is it? How many members you have?
We're actually the smallest in registration in Pima County and statewide. I believe we have about 1,700 registered Greens in Pima County.
Okay, sounds good. And why did you decide to run for this office?
Well, I had actually had electoral experience in the past in my home state of New Jersey, where I relocated from to the first to Seattle and then most recently to Arizona and into Pima County. And I really wanted to run just to make a difference and to make people's lives better. I think that's the point of public policy. And really, I'm running for my kids. I want to see that they actually have a better future looking forward than, you know, what we have going on right now in the political arena.
So, as you mentioned, you have held elected office before. It would be what our equivalent would be, basically a city council member. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yeah.
Okay, and where did you serve and when?
So I served in Jackson, New Jersey from 2002 to 2006.
Okay.
And I was a township committeeman and a deputy mayor.
Okay, sounds good. The interest in third parties is growing, obviously, because there, as we just had the first half hour, there's a lot of, I guess a lot of people are not real confident in the choices that the Republicans and Democrats have made, at least for their presidential nominations. So the third parties
right.
are getting a little bit of I guess, more spotlight than they normally get. How have they grown in Arizona that you've noticed, and what do you see for the future as far as the outcome after this election? Do you think more people are going to be looking at you?
Yeah, I definitely think so. So, I mean, the Green Party, we're a very progressive party. We believe in conservation, not exploitation of resources. And we believe that all political, social, and economic decisions should be made at the lowest effective governmental level. So what that means in practice is we believe in grassroots democracy, and we believe that we don't take any corporate money. We take only donations from individuals. And so, much like the Bernie Sanders campaign, I think we've caught the attention of a lot of the millennial generation, and I'm looking forward to building on that support moving forward.
Has the Arizona branch of the Green Party seen taken more phone calls, shown more interest, or the website doing better? Anything that demonstrates an uptick?
Well, absolutely, yes. Our registrations have continued to grow, but we are getting a lot of support and a lot of interest. Again, not only from the millennials, but from people that are just feeling like the elected officials that have been serving us, the public servants that we've chosen, are just not really doing the job for the people. They're doing the job for special interests and themselves. And so, I think that's the biggest key there. I think, the Sanders campaign actually and the Jill Stein campaign, they both resonate with a similar demographic, which is, I think they align most clearly with progressives, but I think they align with the electorate at large. I think that they have the best plans moving forward. And Jill Stein's plan, I obviously think, is the best plan for the future of my country and the state, as well as Pima County.
Okay, well, let's talk about Pima County, because in your role as supervisor, you'll be making a lot of big decisions. And right now, of course, the hot topic in the county is roads and how to pay for them. Everybody agrees that they're pretty messed up. We saw a year ago the bonds go down. That would have provided at least a little bit of money for roads. That did not happen. There's talk now of adding a half cent to the RTA sales tax. And what do you think of that idea? And if you don't like it, how are we going to fix these roads?
So the first thing I would say is I do want to study that option, but before we jump to that, I think that the wording on the bonds was maybe the problem with the bonds going down. I think that based on our fiscal policy at the county, I think we should be aggressively looking into infrastructure improvements, and that I know that we have a fairly decent bond rating, and bonding is a good way to create jobs and look at those road improvements that need to be made. And the road maintenance is really the key there. I think road repair has been overlooked, and I think those bonds were worded in such a way that they were looking at expansion and not so much maintenance. I think maintenance has been the problem, just driving around Tucson and even Green Valley and Vail, you see that the roads that are already in place are in a pretty sorry state. Lots of potholes and lots of issues to be dealt with. I think they can be dealt with, first off, I would say, let's look at cost cutting. So I mentioned I typically mention the worldview situation. I don't know that offering $15 million to a stratospheric balloon company was the best move for Pima County. I'd like to see some more of that money used to improve infrastructure for our small business community locally and for the residents locally. So the initial beginning would be, okay, let's look at where we can save money, where we can cost cut, and where we can be responsible, more responsible than the current supervisors have been. And then the next step would be, we do actually have a pretty good bond rating, and we would get a low interest rate for those bonds. So if the people are willing to vote for an increase in the RTA budget, I think the better approach would be, let's put out a new bond strictly for repair and maintenance of the roads that are already existing in Pima County, and see if that takes hold with the public. If not, we then have to just look at tightening our belts and looking at other options.
Okay, we are talking to Josh Riley. He is a candidate for Supervisor District 4 in Pima County. That is the seat currently held by Ray Carroll, who is retiring. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. Josh, it is no secret that the Board of Supervisors has had problems getting along the last few years. How would you handle stepping into a situation like that?
Well, my prior experience, and then also I've worked in public and private sectors, and I've worked with a lot of different stakeholders. I actually began my career with the Fish and Wildlife Service down in Dexter, New Mexico, believe it or not, working with a lot of the threatened and endangered fish species that you have at the Sonoran Desert Museum. But I've worked with a number of different groups in public and private life, and sometimes the best is to just put the needs of everybody out on the table. The wants and needs need to be openly discussed. Transparency is very important. And then working on cooperation. Sometimes argument actually leads to cooperation because and to compromise, because we see things differently when we hear the other side of the when we hear the other side of the equation. I think right now you have two political parties, the two corporate parties are highly polarized, and you know, I as a Green Party candidate and just the Green Party at large, we put people before party, we put people before profit, and we put people before politics. And so that's what I intend to do as a supervisor, and that's the best way to get along with everybody. The will of the people should prevail.
Have you been to supervisor meetings?
I have. In fact, I asked them on a couple of occasions to enact a $15 minimum wage countywide, and I am still intend to push that issue as a supervisor. I think it's important. I've signed on to Prop 206, which is the statewide minimum, and that's another way that we could build the revenue base and improve taxation, and also get a lot of people off of public assistance and make them feel good about what they're actually doing. You know, we need to start valuing people, not devaluing them.
What about raising the minimum wage? What would that do to small business owners?
Well, there would be a little bit of a disequilibrium, but I think if you look at the economics of it, I tend to be more Keynesian in my approach to fiscal policy. So I would say there's going to be an economic multiplier, and the proposal I put forward was a proposal similar to the proposal that was enacted by the Seattle City Council, and it would gradually raise the minimum wage to handle any disequilibrium effects that small businesses might have. But the important thing about understanding what the minimum wage will do is that you have to understand that about 20% of Pima County's population falls below the federal poverty line. And they also pay a lot in taxes. They may not pay a lot in income tax, but they pay a lot in sales and property taxes. And that's a huge chunk of their income. So raising the minimum wage would give those individuals the ability to not feel stressed and strapped every day of their working lives. And these are working individuals, some of them doing 2-3 jobs.
Okay.
Very good. And that would allow them the ability to spend on small businesses, and you would actually be growing your customer base for small businesses, and that has been borne out everywhere where a $15 minimum wage has been acted nationwide so far.
Okay, very good. We are talking to Josh Riley. He's the Green Party candidate for Pima County Supervisors. We will be back right after this break to wind it up.
We're gonna have a pizza party tonight. That's right! We got nothing better to do. Eat at Rocco's and have a couple of bros. Chicken wings. Kitchen sink. Happy hour.
Happy hour? Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 5 till 9 p.m. 2707 East Broadway. A proud member of Tucson Originals.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and green things. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com. We are joined on the line by Josh Riley. He is the Green Party candidate for Pima County Supervisor. Josh, there's been a lot of talk about County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Would you support a new contract for him?
So I've called for, in my platform, a cap on administrative salaries at the county level at $250,000 annually. And I think Chuck Huckleberry's salary is somewhere in the neighborhood of $325,000. I think Chuck Huckleberry is a prime example of the disparity you see between the middle class that is shrinking and the 1% that is trying to stay politically connected, and it's a big reason why I'm running as a Green Party candidate. So Chuck Huckleberry is kind of the example. I think he makes... He's the second highest administrator in pay, only to the administrator of L.A. County, California, and yet Pima County, as I mentioned earlier, has a poverty rate somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% of the families falling below the federal poverty level. I think Chuck Huckleberry hasn't done well for the will of the people. I think he's overpaid, so I would not support another contract for him unless he's willing to come down to that $250,000.
And if he were, you would keep him?
If he were, I'd consider keeping him, but I'd have to look at past performance. And what I've seen currently, he's somewhat dismissive of the public will at the moment. So I think he's been stagnating in office. I think it's time for some new blood, but I'd always be willing to entertain someone who'd be willing to take that kind of a pay cut because they actually cared about what they were doing.
Okay, Josh, you think that we can do a better job getting people out of their cars and onto buses and light rail. How do we do that?
Well, the first thing we have to do is understand that the buses and light rail, well, let me back up and say, I think the Tucson community and the Pima County community is already willing to do that. I think the issue is access, and I think the issue has been making it attractive. And I support a high-speed rail line, so I think that would be very attractive to the public, given the current situation with the Sun Corridor planning to grow by like 20. Well, Pima County, I think, grows like 20,000 people every year, and so the Sun Corridor is going to continue to grow. I think being able to travel from the Phoenix metro area to the Tucson metro area in, you know, 45 minutes to an hour would be very attractive to people. Then we also have to increase the actual ridership by increasing the schedule and by also just listening to our electorate and the people that are actually riding on our public transit and utilizing our public transit. It has to be efficient, has to be clean, has to be effective, and people have to feel safe. And all of those things have to be looked at.
Well, we have
I look at public policy in really two main ways. If it enhances community and promotes a high standard of living, then I think it's a good public policy.
We have a streetcar right now, goes from downtown to the University of Arizona campus. If you were to extend that however many miles, where would it go next?
If I were to extend that however many miles, where would it go next? I don't know that I would extend that because, I don't know that it meets those criteria. And that streetcar, it's awful. It tends to be slow, and it, I don't know what the ridership is like, but if it serves the university district very efficiently, I would probably link that to another, I would ride that into a high speed rail hub or to a bus station for the time being, but I would look to link that to the high speed rail. I don't know that that's a fix in of itself. And again, just because of convenience and the rate of travel of that particular train. And I don't know that there's a cost benefit involved in that. I actually don't know what the cost of that transportation was, but I'd have to look at that.
Okay, the board doesn't directly oversee K-12 public education, but education does play a role in whether we can attract top-flight businesses. How can we, as a county, work with schools to ensure that our kids are going to get what they need and that the schools are going to be up to snuff for businesses that want to relocate here?
So that's a great question. I have offered up a higher education plan. So the kids that are performing well from K to 12, if they're Pima County residents, I would like to see the Pima County Board of Supervisors support of a free college at the Pima Community College level. And just to offset the burden, there's a huge problem right now with burying our college graduates with exorbitant student loan debt. That's the first place I would start. That's somewhere where the Board of Supervisors actually does have oversight. And then I would also support increasing and getting any money from the state that they have not paid to Pima County, making sure that goes to high-quality, merit-based positions in our public schools.
Okay. You know, lay out for us your thoughts on incentives to draw big companies to the area. Yes or no on those?
I think the biggest incentive I prefer supporting small business and small local businesses. I would use rather than support, for instance, Caterpillar's move or the move or the Worldview project. I would like to see those monies parceled out and support small businesses with micro lending or just offsetting debt with low interest rate loans and grants from the county level, because small business generates somewhere in the order of 65 to 67% of the new jobs. That's nationwide, and that holds even in Pima County. So I think by having incentives for teachers, improving teachers' pay, by allowing students to leave school free of debt, leave higher education, at least getting an associate's free of debt, and then all of those things would be very attractive, along with the infrastructure improvements, would be very attractive to any national companies and international firms. We have to have the talent base, and we have to have the infrastructure to support those. So I would put it in supporting our county infrastructure, and then let those businesses move here because they're attracted to what we have to offer, rather than incentivizing the move. Like, unfortunately, my home state of New Jersey lost the Hertz car rental company recently.
Okay.
They moved to Florida, created 300 jobs, and now all 300 of those jobs have gone away in under a year's time. So
okay.
I want to see the same thing happen here with the Caterpillar move.
Very good. I want to thank Josh Riley. He is a candidate for Pima County Supervisor District 4, and the best to you on November 8th, Josh. I will be back in this seat. Yeah, I'll be back in this seat on Friday with Josh's opponent, Steve Christie, the Republican, and of course our journalist roundtable. Until then, enjoy the other guest host sitting in for Bill, and have yourself a terrific afternoon.